better in our autonomy. Oh, the more we are self-possessed, the less we are likely to be possessed. The more we inhale our autonomy at the winter solstice and the Saturnalia, we suck the chi out of outer tyranny. May it be so. It's an overwhelming, interesting time. And well, you'll see we're going to go down and up tonight, right? Because it's like the ocean, and it's like we are in our craft and we keep our knees bent. So we're beginning with a friend of mine, Richard Russell, and we're planning to cahoot on things related to this video. But you'll see, it's his video about facing death. He's doing good now, but it's a good Saturnalia, so, and a good invoking, because remember this time of inviting in the ancestors, inviting in everything. So here we go, joining the ancestors.
Just like you are. Some of them are with us now. We carry their fire. Part of me is already gone, exploring terrain. It's hard to explain. So long ago, I can't recall now, though it's here inside the DNA I animate, the instincts I inherit. Their advice. I want them to participate in everyday life. Join in the ancestors sailing their way. One foot's in this world, won't stay. I did not send myself here. Oh no, I'm just completing the errand given me by all the souls who came before me. Thank you.
So, what do we think, team? I like it. It's my Scorpio friend. It's very Pluto because it's deep and it's got a wink, right? So we're in this deep, deep, deep Pluto time, and how do we want to, keep our knees bent on the vessel and go down? But I love, joining the ancestors. I want their advice, and I want their participation. We want their advice and participation because, here we are, at a powerful, I think, humbling time for our winter solstice, where we're just, brought to our knees in humility, going, I don't know how all of you are. I'm deeply engaged, and it's like, how much and how, too much. And it's like, no, want to know stories, deep delving, and clarifying, what are we doing here, right? So, and I'm diving into many new sources and many great things and many annoying things and all of that. So I was listening to Jeremy Scahill interviewing a great Palestinian reporter, and Scahill starts off just kind of yelling, just and it was a Zoom where nobody could see you, so I was like, stop yelling, and yelling things that were true, but the magic affirming them. And I felt it's like, this is important and good, but there's no magic here, and that's why we're here. And as we saunter into exploring the intelligences within us all that are connected to that without, thinking about the Uranus trickster transit to all of us and to the Israel chart, and that's a remains a mysterious and remembering that we are journeying planets stationing inward gestation, winter solstice, in order to go outward. And so what I'd, as I was sending off our today's notes, going, right, what we do now, what we dedicate to now, and how we dance with what Jupiter and Uranus represent has everything to do with how Jupiter and Uranus conjoining April 21st, 2024, but we don't, it's all around then, right, as this opportunity for miraculous goodness. And we go, okay, we entertain that possibility. Jupiter always says there's 20, 30, 40 stories all going on at once, and they can be conflicting and they can all be true. Which one are we going to vote to animate? We go, the trickster against all odds, rebirth of Earth kind of dynamic. And I go, yeah. So I am going for many sources, and I don't know, I was surprised, to go to dinner with, interesting people, in which no world events were referenced, or even, mentioned. And I was like, oh, so curious. There is the, and it's not like one has to always, be tyrannized by whatever, but it's in our field. It's in our field. And I feel like everything is a council in a way, who brought what. But so we have just a little bit of Gabor Mate just to bring in, a guiding narrative, just a little teensy clip. So let's play Gabor now. Perhaps.
Words fail me at this point. It's difficult to explain how I perceive the situation, but in a certain deep sense, I feel that it's the worst thing I've seen in my whole life. And it's impossible to compare atrocities. I mean, nothing compares with the mechanized murder of 5, 6 million Jews by the Nazis. But what is different about this is that I've never seen anything so publicly committed, such atrocities perpetrated on television. And the victims are presented as the perpetrators. And either this spectacle, this obscene, this is spectacle that we're subjected to is either supported or condoned by the major media and all the politicians. It's obligatory, and I think it's even necessary to say, this is my point of view, is that what happened on October 7th wasn't justifiable, that the killings of civilians, whatever details may yet emerge about intentions or what actually happened, that's not something that should have happened. That was something horrible, and it was an atrocity. But even the need to say that comes out of a culture
So I just so appreciate his measured Saturn. And everything he just said, words fail us. And I sent Richard so many things to play tonight that I forgot. It's like a it's Gabor Mate. I know it's something important, but then the minute he started, I'm like, I mean, do you feel the depth of where we are and the truth of what he said? Is that, a resonant dynamic? It's like Rachel Maddow at her town hall some ways back, but there's great parts of her, and she said about democracy and tyranny and freedom and fate of the earth and so much, and she said it doesn't come to every generation. But it's come for us, and that's why we're here, in all of the forms going, So, and then to avail ourselves, what are we cultivating that is, distinct from the many powerful narratives? I mean, I view Gabor Mate as I didn't used to like him when he was always talking about trauma as a brand and a thing and a whatever. I'm like, whatever, but rising to the occasion, and that's what I think our Saturnalia, we go, may we go way down deep in order to rise to the occasion, to do whatever we can to discern. And it is, and how to, again, always our dedication, this time of making dedication, going, this is how we want to be, hold us to this, we can't even be this by ourselves, hold us to this thing that we become weavers, fierce. We add everybody. I said everybody bring our customized trickster, and I mean that. So in different ways for years on the audio trickster training Monday nights, which were adorable, and we may play with bringing it back in some form, or this is it. But we were all encouraged and ongoing to customize, to syncretize our own trickster, wise companion daemon out of everything that we find admirable and ingenious, the capacity to spiral out of polarity, to liberate the entire circumstance, to, as Terry Pratchett's character, to be a calm weaver, right? And not just that, because there's also holy fury out there. Again, that everything be a sacrament, and in keeping with Pluto, the wrathful Dakinis, they metabolize the poison, they cook the tonic of anger and in the toxin of anger into the tonic of wrath, fierce protection of all life. So from the small me, Hinayana honky, I've got mine, always cooking it into the for everybody, for all beings. And that's the winter solstice, Christmas dynamic. May wisdom and kindness be born in the hearts of all beings. All the Redeemer, the trickster Redeemer, right? The trickster Redeemer born this. Well, what this is all about birth, right? And the horrific ironies, but then the magic simultaneous to us. What do we invite to be born, in Bethlehem? We will honor that, the house of bread. But there is, I mean, there is, I won't, impose. Everybody may be following their own tracks about just, well, I just have to bring up lies are having a hard time. The Pope came out against the Israeli snipers killing the two Catholic women as they were fleeing from one building to the next in the Catholic Church in Gaza. And Israeli PR person came on to say, "No, I know that that just can't be true because there are no churches in Gaza." And the interviewer said, "Well, actually, there's, well, that might be true, but there's no Catholics in Gaza." And the interviewer said, "Well, actually, there's 1,000." And she's like, "Well, I didn't read the report." "Well, I did read the anyway." Just the whole thing, like, whoa. And the Pope came out. Any story leads us to all. But these two Catholic women, and it's on. That's the thing. It's ongoing. They bombed the convent outside the church, and that's where mostly women, but it's Catholics, have been, seeking refuge for 60 days, and they've run out of food and water and warmth, and they can't, when they move like this, because the Israeli snipers are ready to just shoot them. This is going on now, and the tanks outside, and it's like, so what are we to do? We wonder. And see, part of my appreciation pre all of this, well, pre everything, I've always loved the Palestinian capacity for irony and depth and cultivated wit at the dark, compressed out of the darkest times. And and that's part of the winter solstice and the Pluto and the dark is rising. And how do we work it? How do we work it? I appreciate my friend Richard's video because he was working that. And how do we all work it? And just each little thing, whatever we're doing, I mean to get a tree tomorrow. I do like that as a ritual, and each one of us thinking of it as a dedicated blessing. But in keeping with, we want to go down and up. And so we have our next commentary on the phrase "from the river to the sea." Here we go.
Folks, we need to stop using the chant "from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free." You are asking to wipe out the whole of Israel, and that is anti-Semitic. Instead, what you should say is, from the east bank of the Jordan River, including Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp, to Karm and Nablus, until the first checkpoint. And if they let you pass, skip Israeli cities, Qilya and Kfar Saba, until the next checkpoint. Advance through Palestinian cities until the end of the West Bank of Ramallah, East Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Hebron. Refugee camps like Aida and Heishe. Skipping all of Israel, then you go all the way to Gaza. Bordering cities that you won't pass through are Sidrot, Ashkelon, Netviot, and Ashdod. Progressing through Gaza City and Khan Yunis until the Mediterranean Sea. Palestine will be free. That's not anti-Semitic. Oh, and I forgot, excluding the illegal Israeli settlement.
I find that darling. I mean, are we liking it okay? We again, the it's irony is fabulous. Remember, irony is one of our, we weave it into our trickster cloths. Again, things I've said before, and you can chant along with me. The study that said, to the degree to which people are ironic is the degree to which they can cultivate compassion. And I love this because it's like surprising at first, like what we like surprises. This is all very Uranus. We think of irony maybe as a British bitter put down thing, but and here's what that wonderful guy does too. To be ironic requires holding at least two stories at once, right? What is and what should be, or what is and what people are pretending it is, right? These are important skills now, both, right? What is and what should be, and what is and what people are pretending it is, going, and the blowing of the discrepancy gives incentive to move towards the ideal. But so to be ironic requires holding at least two stories at once. And to the art of compassion requires cultivating the capacity to hold more and more stories at once. Right? And the storytellers. And what was powerful about Jeremy Scahill, and I apologize for not remembering the important name of the wonderful Palestinian reporter, but you know what they were delineating, and I'm is what they were delineating is 100 journalists, 100 Palestinian journalists have been killed, and many others wounded, and that's a lot in a small community. That's targeted, as well as mentors and cultivated and educated and all of that. It's targeted, and so but what they were saying without saying, well, they were saying, right? So it behooves everyone to be a storyteller, right? Because the storytellers in Gaza and the West Bank are being targeted. Tyranny targets storytellers, right? But we're all pretty safe here. Yeah, and hey, Trump can't be on the ballot in Colorado. That's just late breaking news, right? Right. It will be argued to the Supreme Court, right? Yeah, again, wait for it, team. We are calm and responsive, but Saturn, we're Saturning the Supreme Court. We're seeing it surrounded by a pewter shield of blue violet Saturn rays of like responsibility, accountability, stay medium firm, you rascals. Hold on this one. But yeah, so there's a lot. Again, you know, so but I love that. So that's, you know, irony is liberating. And we do want to put together our, you know, each person by affinity, what is our trickster skills and how do we want to be? You know, yeah, so yes, from the river to the sea, right? Which is perfect because there's so many just pointless arguments on social media. I know because I've been part of them, mostly about from the river to the sea and people going, oh, you want to eliminate this. And I'm once again invoking Colin Robinson in What We Do in the Shadows, for those of you who know that. But Colin Robinson is the energy vampire who, when he's low, he says, oh, I'm low. All I need to do is go online, and within minutes, I can have hundreds of strangers furious with me, and I feed on it. And I go, oh, right, because there was somebody just who was just so annoying, and I go, oh, he's an energy vampire. Let's not feed him, because you know, everybody was going, well, here's where you're wrong, and it's like, no, don't, please don't feed the vampires. It just encourages them. Nor no, and don't feed the dementors who feed on strife. And it's like, so it's all. You know, we all blow it, you know, maybe, you know, I certainly do. And then we go, okay, all right, you know, clarifying, it's such a self-clarifying time, going, well, that was great, or that was, you know, you win some, you lose some. So thinking of that. But I did want to, here, I'll just bring up the chart for some moments here. The chart of our dance for now. Because it is heartening. It's heartening. But it is, you know, steadying down. So as we know, this is me, this in Cabin John. Here's the earth, here's all of everybody here. But part of the just to say what we know, you know, the Pluto dynamic, I like Richard's playing with death and the ancestors. Pluto at the very last degree of Capricorn, which is about getting one's act together. It's a super organized, getting one's underworld act together. And Uranus, excuse me, Pluto has a quintile to Venus in Scorpio. That's my midheaven. Okay. You know, and remember, the quintile is the capacity to open portals between worlds. And it's like, all right, the winter solstice. Come on in light, come on in light, illuminate this, right? The quintile says yes, and furthermore, from what spicy, dark, fabulous sense of collaborative genius of working with the underworld, you know, would we like to invite in? And last week, you know, some mention, you know, and I think Elizabeth made her kites. I don't know if you, but it was encouraged to. You know, since the winter solstice at Newgrange, and they are going to live stream it, Sean tells us. So Newgrange will be live streaming on Dawn on the 22nd, I think that's right, dawn their time. So we just stay up all night. You know, it would be midnight East Coast. But they will live stream it where the sun at dawn goes through Newgrange, and as Sean reminded me, it illuminates the triple spiral. And it's like, oh, we need all of that. We need the triple spiral. So if this is all of us really, and it is by our gathering, and to be human perhaps is to discern the pattern of evolutionary intelligence, the liveliest possibility available at any moment, and offer ourselves to that, going, yeah, whatever that is. So it says, well, then we're all wizards and sorceresses, you know, who have a memory of how to work with the dark and how to work with Pluto and how to dance in the replenishing underworld. And Pluto has a beautiful 60-degree angle to Neptune. This is ongoing. This is collaboration between metaphors eager to incarnate into actuality. So our music and our metaphors and our words, all of that. But Pluto's also, you know, this deep initiation for everybody. It's the whole death rebirth structure of the world. And anything that's anywhere is everywhere. So I'm reading a fabulous novel. I will remember to put the author's name in it. It's by a Native American woman. It's called Mean Spirit. And again, it's these stories that are everywhere of people being displaced from the land of which they are indigenous, which means sprung from the land. And it's like it's an everywhere story. It's an everywhere story. And it's taking us back to exactly what needs, how do we track, how do we go away? Where did all this start? This horrific misuse of the beauty of life, you know, where did it all start? And so people wrenched from the land, we might say, everybody encouraged to, you know, prime the pump of our own creative origin stories. But so as, you know, as Robert Bly said, you know, loneliest person in the world is the man after industrialism got to leave the land and the wuzza wuzza and the animism and the support of many different kinds of flora fauna kin and go to a factory or an office. And then many people survive horrific circumstance, but that conditioning is then to encourage developing to grow up into a person so bereft of intimacy that then one continues that doing that to others. It might be if this is the dream news, and that's what we're doing, what is the Israeli part of all of us? You know, really, you know, wondering attracts revelation. Like, well, what is that? You know, is there any sneaky part of us that feels chosen? You know, like, you know, it's an initiation. I mean, I remember in many different spiritual who's a cults, I'll call them cults, that I went through. You know, at first people were like, oh, we've been waiting for you. You are the great. And it's like, oh, really? Well, oh, okay. But then it's like, no. We want to compost specialness because Uranus is so ardent that we ladle out real democracy, real equality between humans and plants and animals and everything. And yes, we might, some of us might eat animals, but may it be reverent and with respect. And we know from two friends of mine who have doctorates in predator-prey relations that predator and prey have great manners. You know, and I was just saying this to wonderful Sally. There we go. Yes, that's it. Right. Our teammate Sally. You know, the whole it's the man who wrote Trickster Makes the World Go Round, and somebody will remember his name. I'm sure I just know it. I just tap it. But he said, you know, the predator-prey relations is one of the great engines of evolution. You know, 60,000 years ago, predator brain, much larger, prey, smaller, not that that's the only measure of intelligence. And then you move through 30,000 years, everybody's smarter. Predator brain still larger than prey, but by less, but everybody's smarter, right? And so on. And then what he says is what Darwin and everybody wondered about is, but that's a true story. But what it's missing is what we have here in Pisces, altruism. It altruism is an additional story. There's an additional evolutionary story. So we have predator prey, yeah, but that's got manners. See, again, I think we're the only species, pretty much. I'm pretty sure I'm rummaging. There's some rude monkeys, maybe, but the only species that has so lacking in manners and that would outsource leadership to someone so not dedicated to community well-being, those things. So there's that dynamic. But just to Pluto says, well, let's go way back, and talking to my buddy David Grimes, just now, because everything's divinatory. And he said, when he was with Artists for Nature doing a project in Israel, and he'd found it kind of like, ooh, until they went over barbed wire fencing and stuff, and they tracked the River Jordan back to its origin, and it the headwaters of the Jordan River. And the whole Jordan River starts in a cave dedicated to Pan. Right, and it's like, let's go way back, and when I'm thinking about the Uranus transit to Israel's sun, it's like, I if it were a person, it would be a divorce, right? I mean, very often, you see Uranus transiting somebody's seventh house, and it doesn't have to be divorce. It just means the principle of freedom is moving into the realm of intimate relations, and we go, no, and what I say to people, on behalf of Uranus in their own personal lives, is Uranus says, we are big beings. We don't care what you do. We care the manner in which you do it. And if you're contemplating divorce, we want you to divorce the part of yourself that got you into this pickle. And then whether you stay or leave is a minor detail. And if I'm looking at, the Israel part of ourselves, Uranus transit going, well, what would it mean to the Israel part of ourselves and the world to divorce the part of ourselves that got us into this pickle? And that's where I think it's like leaving the land and the animism and the kinship and the talking to everything. And that's why, everything about this holy day, right? The animals talk, right? Yeah. December 23rd is Cat's Christmas. You might not have known that. It's a magic time where the atmosphere, where the protoplasm of reality is especially receptive to music and imprint and yearning and wishes. And even in World War II, the German soldiers, and the American soldiers singing Silent Night, right? And I think that was also World War I and World War II going just a little. And it's like it's harder to imagine such beauty now in the world. And the reason I brought up the novel Mean Spirit, and I will get you the author, is that it's a historic novel, about Native American people in Oklahoma, and they come into oil and oil money. And then all the Christo-fascist scavengers who come to murder, and take and move them from their ha lands and their houses. It's an everywhere story. So it's like, and what shall we call in these big questions? I don't presume to have snappy answers at all. But David was saying, underneath everything, go for the nature, go for the Jordan River, go for Pan. And he said once they went there, when they came back into kind of Israeli society, everything went much better. They just sort of wafted through, not stopped. I mean, they weren't Palestinian, but still. And they went to the Wailing Wall, and he said, remember, in the Wailing Wall are just hundreds and hundreds of these swift birds, these swallows who are there, and they have their nest in the Wailing Wall for hundreds of years. And then at a certain point, they set forth, and it will be months before they touch ground. And they're off, Sean has his hand raised. How exciting. Yes, let us unmute Sean.
Well, I was just thinking about what we might call in. And last week I was reminded of a wonderful Lawrence Ferlinghetti poem, I Am Waiting. And it begins with, I am waiting for a renaissance of wonder. I feel how wonder is very much walks hand in hand with animism. That in any moment we feel wonder, we have that animist glimmer awaken in our heart. And so I think that praying for those small moments of wonder to become the glimmers that then that are like that first ray of sunlight into the dark cavern that then remind us of the spirals written on our hearts so that we can spiral forth in blessing.
Right, with the Swifts. But do you want to say more about the triple spiral that the sun will illuminate at Newgrange, the quality of the triple spiral?
Yes. Well, as best we can understand, the triple spiral is the mother, the father, and the child. And mother, father, child are in fact buried in that chamber. And there is also the way in which the spiral pattern is one of the patterns that appears over and over again in the oldest rock art in the world. And there are those who believe, and Robin Artisan writes quite wonderfully about this in his book about Stonehenge called The House of the Giantess, that those patterns recurrent in rock art are actually the psychedelic gateways to remembering the fullness of ourselves that were what people pass through on their way to acquiring magic as they moved between worlds.
Right. Well, and what they also found, like Malta, full of spirals. It's like if you go back far enough, right? That's the thing. So how old are the spirals at Newgrange?
At least 5,000, possibly older.
Right. And same with Malta, 5,000, because there's something, again, we're wondering about all of the journey, you know, how we got here. So cultures with spirals, like in Malta, show no evidence of war. No fortifications, no weapons, but thousands of musical instruments. And when I was lucky enough to be in Malta, at the same time there was an archaeological dig excavating an ancient city in, I think, Peru. But again, they go, like, oh, this is remarkable. Spirals everywhere, and no evidence of weapons or war or fortifications of any time, of any kind. You know, just, you know, spirals. And so. Just we know that spiral comes out of the number five in nature. Michael Schneider guides us to that in his chapter on five in nature. Five gives rise to the spiral, and spirals are nature's way of resolving conflict whenever anything, you know, again, hot smoke into cold air, you know, cold cream into coffee, galaxies, you know. So the no, so that's great, but triple. Okay, triple. We'll have a triple spiral. I think that's absolutely a great idea. But no evidence of war. So I don't know about Newgrange, but I do know Malta and the Peruvian site. They're like spirals, no war, high culture, music, art. And it's like that's where we're going. Enough of this just, you know, ridiculous war, cruelty. Festival, just no spirals, but there is a transition period, I suppose, right? And but let's look at, yeah, we have our next curated clip, you know, just to look at the deep tarot card irony of now, you know, oh, wait. I'm just, excuse me, spacing out. Right. It's very easy to do that now. It's like, and furthermore, okay. Right, but we're just I'm just telling you to line up Bethlehem Christmas canceled Richard for soon play. But again, cooperators are standing by, and I do want to just bring in, okay, so we have the last degrees of Sagittarius. Mars is at 18 Sagittarius. That's Greta Thunberg's Pluto. All right. When Greta Thunberg was born, and therefore all of her kin, Pluto was at 18 Sagittarius, whose image is pelicans disturbed by men move to safer places for their children. And I love that we don't need to know astrology. Everybody's practicing it. Jane Fonda, her Mars is 18 Sagittarius. Hi, Jane, you're having a Mars return right now today. And she, without knowing that or needing to, said it's because of Greta Thunberg that she, Jane Fonda, is dedicating her final years, and may they be long, to resolving climate crisis. And it's like, right, so Mars is there now. It's saying, hello, Jane Fonda, hello, Greta Thunberg, all good-hearted, dedicated people. And in the Sagittarius realm, this is the realm of Sagittarius Jupiter, the questions, the questing, and the syncretizing. So we go, all right, so incarnational realm of Jupiter, where's Jupiter? Jupiter's overhead still. Ah, fantastic. And stationing to go forward on December 30th and December 31st, that we cultivate and spiral forth blessings out into the world. And it's that idea of the desire of voting for the desirable story. And there was something else I was going to say, but it escaped my mind. But everything, oh, right. So Jupiter says, for fun, it's a 12-year cycle. So it says, whatever any of us started, we can wonder, 12 years ago, is like a circle getting struck by Uranus trickster lightning to turn it into a spiral. Any closed system, right? And that's also why we're encouraged as party favors, as winter solstice favors, to have a bag of liberating lightning to toss at any closed system to liberate the circle into a spiral, into spiraling back into dynamic accord, you know. And it's, you know, it's Aikido, right? It's the art of peace. Resist nothing, guide everything. Right? Don't block, you know. And it's like with Trickster, no rules but guidelines, you know. What does that mean? And I love in Aikido, it's like if something's coming at you, you don't resist it, or you don't defy it and get mown over. You go, oh, you want to go that way? All right, all the way there. There you go. It's got a wit to it, you know, even in its defensive, it's dancing. It's witty, because if one is skilled, and we're all invited to do that, then, you know, really simple things you can just, if somebody's crossing boundaries, you go, don't do that. It's not good for anybody to be tyrannical. And you just have a subtle thing in which you can, it's funny, you can just the right spot can take that person down, and then if they move, it will hurt, and if they don't, it won't, right? And you go, don't hurt yourself.
Caroline,
yes, oh, yes.
This is Susan, and I just have to say, I had a guy. I wanted to learn some of that. I can't even say what it is that what you just said.
Aikido, Aikido.
Yeah. Thank you. And so he was demonstrating with me, and I don't know what happened. He said, "Run at me or try to push me over," or something like. So I did. And I roared with laughter, me as the person who was trying to so-called attack him, because it felt as if he had disappeared. He moved that energy the way you're describing it. It was magical. So I just wanted to say that.
No, yeah. That's really, really great. No, that's really great, because it brings up this thing is like, and it's funny. Right. I mean, that's the thing. And it's like,
yes,
huh.
I was roaring. It was hysterical. It was like, where did you go? And I'm thinking, if it was a street fight, what an amazing spiral.
Right. Also, yeah, in that realm, again, things I've admired, but not physically mastered. I love the idea of them, right, is capoeira, which is, again, Brazilian martial art disguised as a dance, but same idea. There's a wonderful rhythm. There's the berimbau, you know, haunting, very underworld, very haunting. Honoring the underworld takes stress out of the community. We're all going to need to learn and revitalize these ancient things as Pluto enters Aquarius, and it's all. So the berimbau, in capoeira, you form a circle, and there's the berimbau, spooky stringed instrument, and you. One might go into the circle with anybody you have a problem with, right? Anybody you have a problem with. And it's all spiraling and teasing, like you might poke them, you know. And where I was like, I'm not quite ready for this. People do cartwheels and things, but you never take your eye off your opponent dance partner, And but it's where you're resolving, ritually resolving, oops, there's a person there. You're ritually resolving conflict. You know, and that's part of the dynamic right now. We have Mars quintile Saturn. Let's embody and think and articulate and put guidelines, you know, customized for each one of us in our own words. You know, the idea of boundaries. So it's a ritual container, the capoeira and the aikido. You know, anything Saturn says, anything that we dedicate to, is our boundaries, is part of our craft, is our vessel, and it's our vessel. I'll say this astrologically because I have to, but I'll translate it. Saturn in Pisces, which is the inward realm of Jupiter's inwardness. Quintile Mars in Sagittarius, which is the outward curious. May the outer journeys also be inward. May the inward journeys be outward. Well, they are, and it's pelicans disturbed by men, but it's in Sagittarius to Saturn. And so it says it's this theme. Yeah, that I've been ruminating on certainly last week too, which is so New Orleans voodoo tarot, syncretism of Ifa and the Kabbalah. Wonderful, my friend Marcelino, the Santero, says that's because they started off as one thing. So this is the big unfurling, not the big bang. We get to rewrite all the metaphors. So let's say everything starts off as one thing, Africa, really, most likely, and then it diasporas. Ooh. It spirals forth, different cultures, different skin color, different rhythms, different music, different, but all from one thing, right? So the diaspora, and now this winter solstice, one of my images, and it amused Sean too, the word, and now is the cispora. Cis means together. Dia means apart, to spore a blow, to blow it apart, and then cispora is then the together. Together pouring, right? Who brought what? You know, let's find the beauty and the music and the liberating quality from every tradition or every chapter of our life or everything we've ever studied and what we started 12 years ago, 24 years ago, 36 years ago, everything, and then, prehistory, who brought what? I think we need everything because we have this powerful cartoon. Well, it's really a tarot card, and that is yeah, Christmas canceled in Bethlehem. There we go.
حزين يعني احنا الكنيسه هذه كانت في السابق عندما كان الامور مستقره كان تحتاجين الى ساعتين او ثلاثه لزياره المهد لكن اليوم ترى انه لا احد نحن نعيد في كل سنه عيد الميلاد المجيد ولكن في هذه السنه لا توجد اعياد لذلك بالنسبة إلى الوضع الذي تمر في هذه البلاد والعيد يأتي ويذهب ولكن الأرواح التي زهقت لن تتعرض هذه هي رسالتنا من هون من هنا من رحاب كنيسة المهد الذي ولد فيها رسول المحب والسلام ندعو إلى السلام خاصة في بلادنا وفي العالم أجمع
So it is like a powerful tarot card, you know, and how shall we celebrate? Well, for each person to wonder that, on what Sean said, yes, wonder and augury, wonder are in a great conversing, I'm just, aha, aha, right, aha, And then, yes, I was going, oh, nobody's posted. Lewis Hyde, thank you. Thank you. I'm catching up now. I finally found the magic button that reveals the message, the chat. That's so wonderful. I will go inwards and backwards. Right. And so Ben says, for me, when I look to the Israel part of us, it's about composting the desperation to take up the master's tools against other people. Good article on this and the cycle of Jewish history in the colonial imaginary. We will look to that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Sean says she is just such a brilliant spirit, the author of that reference thing, great balancer of love, love and rage. Yeah, and you know, again, I really brought up to the council because these are well in conundrums. Mars woofiness in Sagittarius, which is many, 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 many things. So many kinds of anger, or many, no, anger is one form of Mars, many kinds of Mars, you know, anger, you know, and what was it, Mario Martino, psychologist studies centenarians. And again, it's a simple thing, but important, you know, these were people well into their hundreds who were sharp of mind and body. And he said, one, people always asked them, you know, what's your secret? And one would say, I always smoke a cigar at midnight, or I always have a shot of whiskey at sunset. Or, and he said, it's not the thing, it's the ritual. Ritual keeps us alive, as does learning. If we're learning, it's a Jupiter thing. It says we're in the game. And so this particular long-lived group of nuns, they're like, you know, we're 95 and let's learn physics and Arabic. And I said, but the reason I brought it up is he said, and anger was interesting. Irritation shortened life. If you were indignant because your soup was cold, right? Dead soon, right? Or less, you know, but anger on behalf of lengthened, right? So we want to just explore all these things, and myth has a lot to say to us. And you know, and Mars now quintile Saturn, everything's like a kind of kaleidoscope, you know, every chart, every moment of every chart, every part of the dance, you know, changes and different. Some things are always true, but sometimes they're truer, they rise to the surface. And so Mars in Sagittarius, well, it really is like many, many, many things. Quintile Saturn in Pisces, all one thing into many, many back into one, going right. And so, yes, and now the messages have all gone away. Thank you, Sean. Right. Linda Hogan, Mean Spirit, Jane Chabateri. Yes, I'm just talking to everybody now. It's so wonderful to have friends. Okay, right. Linda Hogan, Mean Spirit. Yes, I jump around. Thank you, Jane Chabateri, great writer and keeper of books. And because I mean, after a day of, you know, many things and work and clients and wondering and then a lot of Gaza and West Bank feed and discourse and Israeli peace activists and what's going on, you know. And then at night I'm like, and now I'll read a little bit of Mean Spirit. Well, it's like, oh, it's the same thing, but the writing is, this is important, I think, for all of us. The writing is so great that it gets us through the underworld. It's like reggae music. The darker the lyrics, the jauntier the tune. And so her writing skill is so good that it supports that, and that's, I think, part of the Pluto spiraling dancing, you know, again, working it. And I think part of the ongoing conversation, say, about anger, because somebody brought up anger on the radio, and people are like, "Yeah, anger," and it's too new age to think anger's. Whoops, I just froze. Uh-oh, come back. I don't know what happened. It got angry. But so people got all enthused about anger. And it's like, yeah, is our manner of relating, is it for self or is it for all beings? And is it worked? I do think that's part of why we gather, is to work the material. Mars says the Western mystery school is the path of desire. And it says all desires are pure if we track them back to what they're really for, right? And so this was, you know, way back as a tiny occultist with Andy Weil, when we're starting off studying the Kabbalah and tarot and astrology and left-wing politics and all kinds of cool stuff. The Western Mystery School, all desires are pure, which is why, especially now, this time of dedication, the way the Kabbalistic tarot astrology training started off saying, what is it you desire? What is it you desire? For lack of answering this question in specific non-vague terms, people have no rudder to their boat. And don't make the answer vague, enlightenment, world peace. No. No, no. What is the, you know, and for everybody, it's like Arthur saying when the white stag leaps into court, okay, everybody's got to go into the forest where it's darkest for them and have a meaningful encounter with nature or don't come back and no supper, you know, and so, you know, part of that dynamic is, they said, you know, pick something that you, that it would be your next logical, spiritually logical thing, what you want to be, do, have. Jupiter and Taurus says we are available, cooperators are standing by to inner dedication, magnetize outer opportunity and blessing to do something tangible in a manner of reciprocal blessing. And certainly cultivating kindness. I love the phrase, you know, some stranger remembers you because you were kind to them. And it's like, right. That's just really, really great. And that's what, that's the power of kindness that comes from people who've been through so much. It's like, whoo, you know, and it's Naomi Shihab Nye, great Palestinian poet and buddy. I love her, and her famous poem, you know, is kindness. And we can post that for everybody because it's powerful. And talking to her about what I so loved about Middle Eastern culture and the idea of irony and despite everything, you know, dancing on the rubble and, you know, and irony, a culture rich in ally and a glance. So you see that too. And there, and it's witty. And she goes, oh, you would so love my uncle and my grandfather and my aunt. They are full of, you know, spicy culture. It's very Irish. It's they're the Irish of the Middle East, you know, just as a kind of quality, you know. And then right, so thank you, Linda Hogan, Mean Spirit. And then we just get to wonder, I think Mars quintile Saturn, see, Aikido is Mars turned into peace. It's like the beginning of sumo wrestling, you know, just giant beings, you know. The referee will not begin the match until both people are breathing together. Right? And so everything, you know, even predator prey, it has its manners, its breathing together, its acknowledgement of one and one rhythm. And I think Mars to Saturn is in the many things finding the one rhythm, the beat. And then, you know, again, spicy, playful Mars. I'll just point at things just for fun as they arise. Look at the chart. So Mars has this quirky 150-degree angle to Uranus and Taurus. Many, one Earth, one land, trickster genius everywhere. And I think we get to call in things too. And part of Mars to Uranus is, you know, our spicy blessing. May words, you know, break free of lies and inadvertently say the truth. And we just have a small clip of such a thing, which is, well, here's the small clip of people inadvertently saying true things. There we go. And we can call for more of such things.
We are not the victims. Sorry, we are the victims. We are not the aggressor. Sorry.
But I can tell you that we are not targeting anyone else in Gaza but civilians.
Huh?
Cynically, but rather... But rather, terrible.
Nah. No.
It's short. It's short, but cute. But again, you know, how we can tease that into something, you know, for everybody in a liberating way. May all people, well, remember, right, we're getting our blessings ready, and they're liberating, and we're allowed to set, or we're ally etiquette says we can set in motion anything of which we would be the happy recipients, right? So if we were to go, may words flee from being imprisoned by lies, would we take that? You know, it's sort of like the beginning of a sitcom, you know, like what happens there. And it's like, yeah, I think that would be good, you know. So this liberation, and I think what makes it good is the humor. I said, you know, we were going to go down, you know, into the underworld and the ancestors, and with Gabor Mate, this is the largest tragedy he's ever seen. I feel that, and it, because it's resonant, it's connected to everything. It's like it's really important and big. It's so important that we don't want to be excited or reactive. That's why we're steadying. May we be responsive in this field and help each other out, you know, and help hold each other to the kind of people we want to be. I think it's a great part of friendship for to have people that we like and who like us and who are critical, you know, in a sense of like, oh, you kind of deviated from your own standards there. And it's like, ah, that's good. We like change, you know, and Uranus is about, you know, becoming unexpected to ourselves, you know, going, oh, changing mind. Uranus is sometimes called the higher octave of Mercury. You know, Mercury is retrograde now until January 2nd, I think, you know, so it's like rethink, first thoughts, second thoughts better, third thoughts better. Wait for it, you know, and it's a question, you know, to be soothsayer, sayer of the truth, a tradition, has everything to do with timing and motivation, you know, when and why, right? So there's a lot now because it is a reactive field. And I certainly do, you know, appreciate crossing the line on occasion and going, oops, you know, but you got to cross the line sometimes to know where it is going, oh. But we want an atmosphere, here we are, dreamers, an atmosphere conducive to the desirable. Spiraling play, the capoeira circle, the birram bow, where you ritually work, you turn anger into art. There you go, anger into art, which liberates the entire community, right? So the idea is two people might have a beef or a chicken or whatever, and you might invite that person into the circle, right? So there's some drama. You, me, yes, you, and then you begin to work it, you know, and in that, and there's the container of the community with the music, right? So you work it, and then, you know, there's an appreciation of art, and if somebody has got it, it's like, oh, very good. It's like the art of insult. We really do want to bring that back. You know, it used to, everything was artful. I mean, and, you know, Venus is in Scorpio, which is not, we want to be equal, but not necessarily nice. Nice comes from nescient, which means ignorant. We want to be spicy. You know, Venus in Scorpio, quintile Pluto tonight, which we've addressed a little bit, but it's spicy. You know, it's spicy, it's saucy, it's opposite Uranus, it insists on equality between visible and invisible and everything into in its quintile to Pluto, so it goes everything into the cauldron. And then for each one of us to have our ladling out criterion, I mean, I have mine, you know, but it's always subject to change, going everything into the cauldron, all teachings, all astrology, all shift courses, all politics, all everything, you know. And then the criterion is it equal? Is it equal Mars and Venus, equal humans and the rest of our kin? Is trickster welcome? Can the truth be said or aspire to be said without cringing? You know, and it's like, yes, We ladle it out? No, we throw it back in for another round of bubbling, you know, and it's, I think, a fun, useful thing for everybody just to put one's own Saturn, one's own vetting standards, everything into the cauldron. And then what's each person's vetting standards of whether you take it out of the freezer, that's 2 weeks ago exercise, or you ladle it out of the cauldron. So I Uranus likes, is it equal? Not same, not nice, but respectful straight across, like how you doing, which increases the rate of synchronicity. And that's why, you know, looking at the sky dance, going, okay, what we're doing now this season, this historic time that we're spending with each other, I mean, really, it's like we're gonna remember this, not this me, but this, you know, and it is the dance of our dedication. I will just bring up the chart one more time for a spin around. Right. So Saturn quintiles Venus, 72 degree angle, beautiful, very wonderful, spiciness, calm weaver, dedication to being a calm weaver. Yeah, Venus to Pluto. That's what I meant. Venus to Pluto. Venus to Pluto, Saturn to Mars, quintiles. So our dedication. And then Saturn has a beautiful relationship to Jupiter, 60 degree angle stationing. And again, just to repeat, because things are retrograde, New Year's Eve, December 30th and 31st, Jupiter stations and goes from inward to outward. It's very Santa Claus. It's very, you know, again, Amanita mushrooms. It's very what we're brewing now, you know, to brew into this whole solstice Christmas thing is the birth of what? The birth of what redeems us. It's the birth of the Redeemer, right? But we're doing a spiral going, not a person, not even one God, the birth of the Redeemer in everybody. Democratic animism, and that includes the squirrels, you know, in humans, squirrels, every just come on in, you know, the trickster unique experiment that is everybody, you know, and Neptune says, you know, the divine really wants to be liberated from past confines of human imagination. And I might have told you this, I might have told you everything, but I love meeting Rabbi White. Somebody brought Rabbi White to my house. I can't remember why or who. There's like, I'm bringing somebody by that you really need to meet. I think you should have tea. And he was head of rabbinical studies at Georgetown, just this fabulous. And we just were like, wow, what a learned, smart, playful guy. And so I did say to him, Rabbi White, you seem playful. Let's see. I said, I think of the Abrahamic religions as shipwrecks on which barnacles, but beautiful corals have grown. Traditions, music. He goes, that's perfect. And I go, what a playful rabbi you are. Right. It's like, you know, take it all the way, take it all the way. And so he was like, woof, woof, want to play. Very playful. So yes, well, you know, cooking it all the way back. Our trickster selves. I myself prefer to think of the divine as a large coyote, dangerous in a good way, bowing down in front, going, woof, woof, want to play. That for me, I like that, but it's shapeshifty. Again, shapeshifty. People may be more orthodox or more, but again, syncretized out of many. And this is also our invitation to just see what comes in dreams or thoughts or reverie, you know, what plants, aside, you know, it might be that humans have the opportunity, Jupiter, and responsibility, Saturn, to borrow qualities of intelligence from flora, fauna, fungi, you know, each again by our affinity. Like, what do you admire in the plant world? And, you know, chamomile. The more you step on it, the more it blooms. You know, a good kind of progressive, a good mascot, flower mascot for like unions and, you know, rising up. Defiant beauty and joy. So everything, remember doctrine of signatures, everything's telling us its story all the time. So what do we have an affinity for? You know, and You know, and this is such a good story time right now. Again, winter, Cats Christmas on the 23rd, right, when cats celebrate Christmas. The tradition is, you know, if you gather, you bring a present for the cat of the house, but you bring something that you love to read aloud. And reading aloud, very wonderful. Sometimes I just do it with the dogs, but they're like, we like that. We like reading aloud. Animals, creatures, trees, reading aloud to something, giving a present. Yes, all of those things. And
Caroline, I wanted to add one other thing along the lines of what you've been talking about, the sort of trickstering, moving things, doing things a little bit differently, representing them differently. So our tree that we have here, when my daughter was little, my friend started giving her, can you hear me?
Yes. I just,
okay.
I
was, she, instead of giving ornaments, she would give her these little nature spirits. Every year she had a little nature spirit, a tree spirit, or a, so our, that tree is full of nature spirits, tree spirits, all things that symbolize like the divine nature of the world, of the tree itself. So it's sort of like, it's a trickster way of doing a Christmas tree. It's full of all those little wonder that Sean had mentioned earlier. So I just wanted to bring that into tonight's council as well.
That's super great. You know, and that is why it's like, I am going to get the tree tomorrow. I'm pretty sure from the fire department, but yes, cause there are many things. I also have a wonderful ceramic thing, and it's Bethlehem, you know, and the nativity, and then the three wise men are going, it's a girl. Anyway, so that's fun too. But yeah, and then where I got distracted, and then back to your wonderful offering, is I was reading Ben saying, I have mostly studied Kabbalah paired with the tarot. I have a book from Paul Foster Cakes I quite like, among many others, but I'm sure even, whoops, uh-oh, wait a minute. I'm sure even better references could come from others in this council. Wait, no, let me show you. Well, no, that's right. I almost always have it here at hand. Yes. This is my book, The Tarot from Paul Foster Case, that, yes, Andy Weil and I started off with The Builders of the Adytum and Paul Foster Case. Perfectly wonderful. There's enough here. What they said is that, you know, without even needing this book, that, you know, again, everything starts from one and then disperses. So Andy Weil and I got this book in 1970. This is the same book I've had that you have been, the same copy, since 1970, bless its little heart. You know, and all desires are pure if you track them back to what they're for. So it's a, you know, really, especially now, you know, to answer that question, you know, what does one want? And they say, in the spirit of Eliphas Levy, to know, to dare, to will, and to be silent. You don't tell people this thing until it's happened. You don't talk it out and think you've done it. You know, you don't. It's like it's incubating. It's like at the Eleusinian Mysteries, there was an insight that was just for the person, just boundaries. But that's adorable. Yeah. So Ben, and then, you know, I was going to say, oh, frater Ben, but you didn't necessarily join the mystery school, which is very, very clean, because it really just led people to themselves. And what Paul Foster Case said is that, what's a fun apocryphal story, just to bring up random, possibly useful things. So the apocryphal story is that Paul Foster Case, yeah, it's part of the esoteric ancestors. Hi there, Paul. But he always had a kind of, you know, voice, intuition, guiding him and telling him, like, you know, yeah, let's check out this book or whatever. And so one day he's in a, I think, a library in Chicago, and a man walks up to him and says, I'm the voice in your head. It's like, and you have been selected to translate Kabbalistic esoterica into vernacular accessible and come write these lessons. Maybe, maybe not. It's as good as anything as an origin story. But the thing is that's pertinent to us is the lessons, only guiding people to their own autonomy, only. And what they said is that, you know, when the libraries of Alexandria, another apocryphal story, burned down, the center of learning moved to Fez in Morocco, where all the traditions would gather, determined to put the sum of their knowledge of how to live a wise life into a book disguised as a deck of cards. And that's one description of tarot. And it was said that if one had nothing but just those symbols that speak, that they wanted it to be in a language universally understandable by many, many, many people speaking different languages. And they go, symbols? Yeah. And it was said that even if you were in a jail cell and had nothing but this deck of cards, or maybe even just the 22 arcana, you would have access to all knowledge in the world. Many great things. But anyway, that's very cool, Ben. Yes, there's a million things. And then I can talk more because, oh, never mind. But yeah, and then my friend Mary Greer and I started off in London together, and we really took what we did seriously. She's one of the great tarot mavens. Anyway, so we can talk more about all those things. Yes, love those adorable, playful nature spirits. That's excellent. Sean says, in Irish, the same word is used for secret and deepest desire. Oh, that's nice. And it's a term of affection. Run? What is the term of affection?
Run.
Oh, say it again.
Run.
Run. Run.
Rune, like the Norse letters, rune.
Rune, yeah.
Although it can also go, depending on the dialect, go a little bit toward ruin.
All right, I can almost hear that. But that's good. It's coming from a deep place, whatever it is. That's excellent. Okay, team, anybody want to say anything else?
I do, Caroline.
Oh, goody. Oh, goody. Oh, goody. Yeah, no, wonderful. Most welcome. Most welcome. Yeah,
I will try to be succinct. I love your words. I think I've told you that. And I love getting together like this with people that I believe, I feel I know, have the desire and the will and the capacity for imagining and allowing the unimaginable and the magical and the beyond our group knowledge, intuition, whatever, beyond us all. But I feel there are not a lot of people willing to go that far out beyond any boundaries, but that we know are there. And so in this one time when all of creation is wanting us to stand still and deep, I find a great deal of hope and comfort and magic, I guess, in feeling that sense of I don't know what. And so throwing into the cauldron and ladling out is a start. And I understand that directive to know what you want. But I also believe that maybe we know how it feels. Anyway, I'm glad you're all here.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I'm glad the you part of us is here and the me part of you, and that's great. Yeah, that was thank you, Reverie offering. I could feel that and go, ah, it is good to gather, you know, and you know, with high and low humor. And then Richard, should we play the very short dog clip just for, yes, I think so.
Oh,
I think,
yes.
Yes, okay. All right, let's play the very short dog clip because we want to hear from the dog world and their political commentary as well. And then we'll get to you, Ben.
Oh,
It's just we want commentators from all the species. I just thought that was a good short little dog clip. Yes, thank you. That's right. And again, all of it is a blessing. All of it is a blessing. May those abusing power be moved to a place that can no longer harm themselves by harming others. That's part of our molecular well-wishing out there. And that was good. Oh, and then Ben, do you still have your hand up? I saw it go around somewhere. Did you want to speak? Okay, good.
I just wanted to briefly say that it's perfect after that clip. Could someone post that somewhere? I really would love to have that because what I was gonna say was I heard someone say today that seriousness is the glue that holds the illusion together. And I just love it because of course what's happening is the instinct is to say serious, but it's like it's it, you know and I don't know what it is. It's horrible, whatever, but it's something about the need to be serious is like is further entrenching in my mind the idea that something's so horribly like irrevocable, and it's just like, well, maybe not, like yes, it's horrible, but like maybe it's not so like. We don't have to like glue together with seriousness. So I liked the video and I'm trying to, I don't know, allow it to be playful and shake things up instead of gluing, further
Well,
entrenching in the.
it's very fluid. I mean, if you replace serious with the word dedicated, and like just let's just amplify our vocabulary. Like I like replacing the word addicted with dedicated, just to see what happens. Somebody says, I'm a sex addict, and I go, oh, you're a sex dedicated devotee, right? Just tracking it back because the Kabbalistic thing, and you go, Kabbalah has been so co-opted, and yes and no, yes and no, yes, yeah, it became fashionable, but we're talking 1970 when Andy Weil and I started with Paul Foster Case, and it is about just the simple thing. This is all pragmatic mysticism, and it's very pulsing now, like what comes up now, and Mars to Saturn is your dedicated, disciplined wildness, your dedicated desire. It really the Mars in Sagittarius to Saturn in Pisces is it's just for everybody in some form as a solstice Christmas present magic to write down or sketch or make shambles and flags, of one's manifesto of dedicated desire. Dedication and desire are by quintile tonight very happy together. They're partners, not suppressors. Dedication, desire. And it's really giving the early Kabbalistic counsel, which is to think of something that one would want and you don't to be, to do, to have, at something one would like to occur. I know this works. It's like if we all remembered and did what we knew, we'd all be in fantastic shape. And at night, the occipital region of the brain, the whole rear portion of the brain, the curvy part, is thought by Kabbalists as the portion of the brain where images move from inside into the world, into actuality. It's kind of like a nativity thing. And it was thought that twilight states upon awakening and before going to sleep was particularly good. And the Kabbalistic teachers said to practice this. When you have an image, when we have an image in our mind, we tend to see it, up front, And they said, well, just practice this and see what happens, right? The changing of mind, the changing of perspective. Take the desirable image, and you can do this, and it's interesting. It takes practice, and move the image to the back so you see it on the back of your head. It's really interesting. And that's where it goes out. Because they said images are real, are made up of molecules as much as this table, a clear mental image tends to materialize as an actual condition or event, said Paul Foster Case, working with all the many, many traditions. And also all the traditions, again, the reason we're heretics is that heretic was a public service cross-pollinating contributor to culture so that knowledge never degraded into dogma or superstition. Well, we always do it this way. Why? Because it's the custom, or the priest told us. It's like, well, that doesn't, you don't get any mojo from that. You got to intend, by the doing of this, may it be that all dingbats gain a sense of humor, or, whatever the thing is. So there's that. Yes. And so, yeah, so there is, and then there's also just the Sufi smartass rock, which is, it would be fun if I'd had the prop, but here's the gist of it. Also really useful. Man walking down the road sees a rock, and on the rock is painted, "Turn me over." So he turns it over. And on the other side, it said, "Why do you seek more knowledge when you do not use that which you already have?" Yeah, it's a smartass rock. It's useful, because, and that's also part of the quippy humor of the dancing chart of now, and it's Vine Deloria bringing him in, Vine Deloria, wonderful Native American activist. I meet many, many young activists, he said, who are very, very serious about themselves. Right. And that's, I think, in the way that you were appropriately harumphing, Ben, about that kind of self-serious or depression about self or about the world, but so Vine said, I meet many, many young activists who are very, very serious about themselves. We were serious. We were dedicated, serious about the issues, but always playful among ourselves. Right. And that's a good aspiration. So there. All right, team. There's more messages. That's good. Anybody want to say anything? The liminal edge of sleep magic. Oh, that's great. Thank you. Sean is offering more wonderful things. Yeah, excellent. Sleep magic, reverie magic, deep, deep winter magic. This is where the equal, the night, the darkness, the storytelling, and we go. My entire system of living room lights went out. I replaced one bulb and the whole thing was like, that does it, we're all quitting. So it's dark. It's very dark up there. And it's like, okay, all right, fine, right. It's dark. It's storytelling, it's firelight, it's liminal, right? We who have the luxury of such things, but to commune with everyone, everything, and wish path open for us to be effective in true democratic equality blooming, then that what we dedicate to now is eager to come alive in some miraculous way as we move into April. Not a belief, believe nothing, entertain possibility. It's a possibility we're entertaining. And this season and these customs are all about inviting. What are we inviting to be born? So there. That's good. Mark says, I would like to share a vision I have about creating new narratives about this time. Okay. You want to do that now?
Yes, I would. Yes.
All right. Oh, it's yourself. Splendid.
Can you see me? Hear me?
I do. Yep. Yep.
This came to me the other night, and I've been doing a lot of looking into the whole issue of regeneration as defined by Paul Hawken, explained by Paul Hawken, and in Project Drawdown and another project called the Foundation for Climate Restoration, and right on the heels of the last Trickster Council last week too. And you were keep speaking about the argument of this time is that if we create the vessel that using our dreaming to create the vessel, Jupiter will fill it. And it just came to me, the vessel, we're at a really, really unique moment right now to invite people to a new conversation that what we're up to is we're regenerating the planet. And the Foundation for Climate Restoration sets a very specific date, says, let's commit this, let's be dedicated to the year 2050 that we actually restore the climate. Paul Hawken's regeneration is about ending the climate crisis in one generation, all similar timelines. And it really came to me that the craft that I feel like I'm called to create is, what's that conversation? How do we language that so that people can get it and sign on it, take it on as their own? And love the fullness of what you're showing us, that Jupiter's ready to fill that craft.
Yeah, and dedication, not grumpy seriousness, but dedication, allows one to transmit a vision in an offering egalitarian way, so that it, like a tuning fork, hums in others, going, "Oh, I see that now. I see that now." Right? So nobody has to believe anybody, and it's the guiding people to their own autonomy, going, "Ah, there we go." And I think it's even less, object, like me telling you kind of thing. I think it's like it's in the atmosphere. What stories want to be told? What words want to be used? They're alive too. And the quest begins with questions like what you were saying, most worthy, Mark. Absolutely, that's the thing. We're birthing, the all-inclusive story of humans, earth, flora, fauna, fungi in a democracy, teased into all parts of life, every way. The way we treat, squirrels in the morning. Good morning. I mean, all of it, right? And everybody's regenerating the planet. Yay, says Aaron, partnering with the planet, already a better start to conversation. Yes, yeah, fighting climate change. I don't begrudge Bill McKibben, God love him, or Bernie Sanders for using fight, 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 but it is a, and fighting climate change is a ridiculous phrase, right? It's heat that got us into this pickle. And it's like, no, we're not gonna fight climate change. Right. So composting non-necessary war language, except for Bill McKibben and Bernie Sanders, who, what the hell, they like their fighting. And you want to keep using the word fight?
No.
And Mark. And
No,
Mark.
I
Bernie
love
Sanders and Mark.
abandoning that. But I this is something that's, I don't know, makes this richer for me is an aphorism I got at an exercise class I'm doing. The teacher rattles on about all kinds of interesting things, and he said, in dealing with the body needs instructions. We give the body instructions. I want to do this. I want to push harder. I want to stretch that way. Let's be strong or graceful. The body needs instructions, but the spirit needs an invitation.
Yeah.
And I just it just crystallized something for me. And that when we to I want to be able to and become so much better at inviting people into a new possibility, and that brings the spirit. We can't command it. We can only invite spirit.
In inviting and that's what Christmas tree ornaments are for. That's what any dedicated by the watering of the plant, by the baking of the cookies, by the putting of this thing, the material world is matter. Mater, mother, come is the same root as matter. If we were really materialists honoring mater, we'd be in great shape if we really honored mater. But the material things is the visible incarnate magnetizes the invisible. So and the dance of Mars and Venus. Venus is in Mars's sign now, and so it's like, Venus invites and magnetizes, Mars animates it, and together they spiral it forth, right? So it's a part of all of us, O come, Emmanuel, right? And ransom captive Israel. I love that song, haunting, haunting and beautiful. So that's, so that magnetizes, like the yearning and magnetizes, and then Mars says, let's animate that, and then we will dance to spiral it forth. And Don says, we use healing much of the time, healing the climate. Yeah, who's doing the healing? Right. Well, it's good to keep working, healing the climate. Humans will not heal the climate. I don't think it's a, but it's again Janine Bennett. If we just took the jackboot of tyranny off of nature's jugular, right? So yeah, but I think these are useful, assisting in healing life systems in collaboration with life systems. We want to keep working, we want to keep crafting these things. That's right. And dreaming language and unexpected language, and in some form sensual language. Remember, the blessing is always the cloak and the mango and the thing and the right. So but we're all, grant us all sensual, let's see, Yeah, metaphors, incarnational garb, whereby power enters the world. And like, you know, John O'Donohue, it's like, you know, the blessing is always, you know, may the ancestors place a cloak around your shoulders that will mend your life. May, you know, yeah, Swami Beyondananda always used to say, you know, visualize world peace. Too abstract. Visualize, you know, well, at the time, this is very dated, right? Yasser Arafat and Margaret Thatcher doing the hoochie-coochie together. I mean, just, again, our trickster, mad selves. We can put on a grown-up mask to the language or the thing if talking to grown-ups who might be alarmed. But backstage, it's like, well, let's unfurl. Like, what would be the, you know, each one of us? Yeah, right, and the language and the phrasing and the story. Yeah, these are mysteries, and thank goodness we don't need the answers, just the questions. It says, if you just come up with the questions, Mars and Sagittarius, Sun and Sagittarius, quintile Saturn, well, it's Ishtikara, which is the one dream practice in Islam. And it's very, I mean, one part of it is very, very simple. You just say, if there's anything I don't need to know, then never mind. And if there's anything I do need to know, then send me a dream that's accessible about the right story and the right, or the liveliest letters and words. So here, well, thank you, team. And we end with this very, it's really good. So here we go with our, yes, beautiful finale. Oh, Richard, here we go. Yeah.
Liebe Palästina, liebe Palästina, liebe Palästina, o großer Zionisten, liebe Palästina, o großer Zionisten,
o wie har odlat jorden,
o wie har odlat jorden,
o wie har skördat vetet,
o wie har skördat vetet,
vi har plockat citronerna,
o wie har plockat citronerna,
och hela världen känner till vår jord.
Och hela världen känner till vår jord. Leve, leve, leve Palestina. Leve, leve, leve Palestina. Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen. Leve Palestina och grossa sionismen.
Och vi har kastat stenar på.
Och vi har kastat.
Soldater och poliser,
soldater och poliser,
och vi har skjutit raketer,
och vi har skjutit raketer.
It's good, yes? Out of many one, and when one into many. Yay. Thank you, team. Thank you, team. Woofy Solstice. And everything. See you a million places in our dreams. Right. Bye.